which in this case would involve the quest for a definition of torture that would be capable of including almost any coercive interrogation practice that we might wish to prohibit. The hope here is that murky ethical situations may be clarified by the rigorous application of universal invariable principles. In this presentation, I would like to suggest that these strategies not be necessarily seen as mutually exclusive. Each approach has its strengths and weaknesses, and it may be that they need to be used in combination in order to be most powerful. As a way of illustrating this contention, I would like to examine a recent attempt to build a case against torture out of the sources of halakha, or Jewish law. Such a project involves an intriguing combination of legal and philosophical reasoning. Partially, this is necessary because the unique historical conditions of the formation of the halakhic corpus, namely the 2,000-year period of Jewish statelessness, have resulted in very little treatment of battlefield law or international statecraft in general, let alone the torture of unarmed prisoners in particular. This means that anyone committed to forming a position on torture that has halakha as its basis must begin by generalizing certain principles out of other areas of halakha that seem pertinent. A few methodological caveats are necessary before I begin. First, it is important to keep in mind that I'm not a posek or decisor in matters of Jewish law. I'm not here to tell you what Jewish law says about torture, but only to present one voice from a multivocal tradition.